Today's Shir is Masechta Chul and Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin at the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, a Shaykh Beis Roshim Kechot. If somebody shechs two heads of two animals at the same time, the halach is Shechitasik Sheira. And as the Mefarshim point out, based on what we learned in the previous Shiurim, the halach here is only by Kachim. Because as we learned by Kachim, the halacha is you're not allowed to shech two animals together. And in fact, as we learned yesterday, it may only be the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. According to the Chacham, it may be acceptable even by Kachim. Continues the Mishnah. Shnayim achim sakin, v'shoichtim, afil ech lamala vech lamata, shritosik sheira. And here, as we recall from yesterday's shir, there's machlekes between Rav and Shmuel how to understand these words of the Mishnah. According to Rav, who holds you don't have to have a shechita mafras, the halach would be two people holding two knives, and therefore they're cutting in different spots of the cut and the veshit, it would be a kosher shechita. According to Shmuel, who requires a shechita mafras, the Mishnah is referring to two people holding one knife. Continues the Mishnah, hittas is a roish bebas achas, if the entire head was cut off with one motion, psul. And here we begin a very important part of today's shir, the halacha of halacha vayva. And the Mishnah is teaching us here that if it was cut off in one motion without halacha vayva, the halacha is that it's not a kosher shechita. Interesting machlokes rishonim. What is the halacha if the Mishnah speaks about the head being cut off this way? What would be the halacha if only the simonim was severed without halacha vayva? Is the concern for drusa only when such a significant act happened that the entire head was removed? That's when we need to be concerned. But if it was only the simonim, even if there wasn't halacha vayva, it's fine. Or is the Mishnah teaching us that even if just the simonim are cut without a whole halacha vayva, it's not a kosher shechita? Machlokes rishonim. Continues the Mishnah. Hayesh shaychit v'hitas sroish b'bas achas. But now the Mishnah teaches us there is a circumstance where if you shechted without halacha vahiva, it's a kosher shechita. Well, how you shech v'hitzis roish v'basachas, the entire head was cut off. Im yesh b'sakin moli tzaver, if the knife is wide enough, and the Gemara is going to explain this extensively as the width of an animal, even though there was no halacha vahiva, the halacha is that it's a kshera, it's a kosher shechita. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, how you shaykh behetis beis roshim beis achas. Now you're cutting two animals. Im yesh besakim moli tzava echak sherim. Says the Mishnah, b'medvar amurim, when was this all taught us? B'zman shaholich v'loy hevi. A helich v'loy hevi v'loy helich. If you didn't, you only had a loch without a ivo, a ivo without a loch. Avim helich v'hevi. If you did a loch of a ivo, a fila koshu, even if it's a very narrow knife, and halacha vayva, you have to keep on going back and forth. A fila bizemel, even if you use the scalpel, ksheira to kosher shechita, as long as you did halacha vayva. The Rishonim debate, if you have a knife that's wide enough, is it l'chatchila okay without halacha vayva, or it's only b'dievet? Our minik, as the Tefuah Shor teaches us, is that always halacha vayva should be done. Furthermore, the Achrayim explain that even though we're saying that halacha vahiva is required, certainly everybody would agree that if you did a full halacha and just a partial hayva, or vice versa, it's a kosher shechita. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, based on our minig, that since, as we're learning, we're so concerned about a drusa, one should not shecht when he's sitting, because when you shecht when you're sitting, you're more likely to do a drusa. And furthermore, one has to be very careful when you shecht not to put a finger on the blade. Because when you put a finger on the blade, they'll have your entire hand only on the handle of the knife, not on the blade of the knife. Because if you have a finger on the blade of the knife, again, there's a greater concern for drusa. Interesting Bali Itter, based on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us a very important halacha, that technically, you could shech two animals at the same time. And of course, the halacha is, if you shech two animals at the same time, you only make one bracha. Says the Bala Yitr, let's say there are two children to do a bris milah on. There says the Bala Yitr, since you can't do two bris milahs at the same time, each child's bris milah has to be done individually, you make a separate bracha on each bris milah. And his raya is our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is using the example of Shechita, where you could technically shech two animals at the same time. The Rivash disagrees, and he brings some very nice rayas. He says, we know that according to some communities, Sephardi communities, they only make one bracha when they put on Tefillin Shayyad and Tefillin Shereish. You can't put on the Tefillin Shayyad and Tefillin Shereish at the same time. So how do you make only one bracha? Or, halachically, let's say you're eating cheese, drinking milk, and then you don't have to wait a long time to eat meat. You don't have to make a new bracha. You made the shahakal on the milk, and it'll be good on the meat. You can't eat milk and cheese together. So we see the fact that two acts cannot be done together, says the Rivash, it doesn't prevent us from making one bracha. But it's interesting to note that this is actually a machloitis of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, what to do when you have two children to do bris milah. Shulchan Aruch says, as we just suggested, you should do each bris separately and make a bracha separately. Ramah says that unless you were Messiah Das, you not think you forgot about the first bris, or you spoke in between one bris and the next, you should make only one bracha. So all the Mefarshim, the Shach tries to understand the Ramah. Because usually the fact that you spoke is not a factor. Let's think about the halacha. Let's say you have to do Bedikas Chametz in your whole house. Of course, the right thing is not to speak till you finish. But let's say you made the bracha, you started Bedikas Chametz, and you spoke in the middle of the Bedikas Chametz. You don't make a new bracha. Or by Shechita, which is our issue. Let's say you shecht one animal, and then bring another animal. You didn't think about the second animal when you shechted the first one. You don't make a new bracha. So why is Mila different according to the Ramah? The answer is because even though the Ramah agrees with the Rivash, that even you don't have to be able to do both mitzvahs at the same time to make one bracha, he does give some credence to the Bala Yitr. And therefore, even if it's not in the normal course of halacha enough of a hefsek that you should make two brachas, here it's going to be considered a hefsek, and therefore any hefsek between two children's bris milah makes that we should make separate brachas. And the minig, even in our community, in those that follow the Ramah, is that if you have two children to make a bris milah, you make a separate bracha. You should specifically make a hefsek, as the Ramah says, in order to make separate brachas. Says the Gemara, on a menahani mili. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that a drus is a problem? And here too, the Achronim right away trying to understand the Gemara. Drusa, we've learned enough from Masech Techulin to know that drusa is a halach l'mashim Sinai, that it disqualifies a shechita. So what's pshat in the Gemara's question of menahani mili? How do we know drusa is a problem? So there are some, and back based on the Gemara that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that said the drusa is not a halacha l'mashim Sinai, drusa is medaraisa. But others explain, as we're going to learn in our perek, by shear, you're not allowed to pause in the middle of the shechita. But the halacha is, there's a shear to the shear. If you pause for less than that amount of time, it's a kosher shechita. Drusa, there's no room for maneuvering. If even it's the most minute drusa, it's a possible shechita. So Gemara wants to know, why are we so strict with drusa? Where does that come from? Answers the Gemara, Amishmud Amikra, Chetz Shochet L'Shoin Amirma. Just like an arrow, when it cuts in one motion. Here too, it's also should be the shechita. Chetz Shochet L'Shoin Amirma Daber. Just like the arrow shechts. Tana Beri B'Shmol. V'Shochat, Ein V'Shochat, Elu Moshach. It has to be in a cutting motion, not in a pressing motion. V'Kenu Amizov Shochet. Spread out gold. Vaimer, Chet Shochet L'Shoin Amirma Daber. Asma Mai Vaimer, why do we need two psukim to teach the same lesson? V'Chitema, if we'll suggest Zov Shochet, doesn't mean that it was done like Moshach, it was spread out. Maybe it means Shinit Chichot. They made it into gold threads. Tashma, so that's what Gemara brings another pasuk that's very clear, Chet Shochet L'Shoin Amirma, that Shechita should be like an arrow that it goes straight across, no pressing involved. Interesting vart that I saw from the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Lakutei Sichas. He says, the Gemara says, V'shachat, ein v'shachat ela moshach. What does moshach mean? He says, this is an important concept as we speak about Hilchos Shechita, he says. What is the purpose of Shechita? He says, we start with an animal. An animal doesn't have the ability to do mitzvahs. An animal doesn't have the ability to learn Torah. But by us doing Shechita on the animal, and making it into a kosher animal, and eating from that animal, and it becomes part of us, that we do mitzvahs and do learn Torah, we raise the level of the animal. V'shach, moshach. Moshach means we draw it. We draw the animals from just being an animal into being so much more. How does that happen? Through the Shechita. Says the Gemara, Rav Avibadik Leigira L'Rav Yonah Bat Techlifa, Rav would inspect the arrow of Rav Yonah Bat Techlifa, V'shachet Ba'oifa B'hadid Parach. And as the bird was flying, he shot an arrow and it shechted the bird in mid-sky. Of course, the Paiskim say, I don't think anybody would shech this way nowadays anyway, but the Paiskim say, were one to shech this way, he should make a bracha. Because there's a real chance that the shechita will not be a valid shechita, and I'll be a bracha levatala. But the shechita is a kosher shechita without a bracha. Ask the Gemara, how could you be so comfortable in relying on that shechita? The Dilma Ovet Chalada, we discussed extensively in our previous year, that if the knife or the arrow goes between the simonim, it's not a kosher shechita. So how do we know that that didn't happen here? Answers the Gemara, Chazinen Gitfi de Meframi. If we see that the feathers are cut, it's a clear indication that it was cut from the outside and it's not a chalada. And actually, the Paiskim use this Gemara la'alocha. Because our minig is that after we shech a bird or an animal, we do a bedika. And the minig is to do the bedika immediately after the shechita. But here we see that even if you didn't do the bedika immediately, it's still a valid bedika. Because what happened here? He shot the arrow, killed the bird, and now he has, takes time to go to where the bird is laying. And still the Gemara says it's a valid bedika. Ask the Gemara by kisui. We know there's a halacha in the Torah that when you shech the chay or oif, you have to do kisui adam. So how are you going to do kisui adam? V'chi teima, and if you'll suggest, the mechsila. You go to wherever the bird is, and you cover it with that, you cover it with sand. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav, regarding the halacha of kisui adam, hashoichit, tzorch shitin ofalamata, vofalamala. Doing kisui adam requires that there be sand on the bottom and the sand on top. Shenemar, and it's based on the pasuk, v'chiso ba'ofer, and explains the Gemara. Ofer lo yinemar, the Torah doesn't use just the word offer, ela bi'ofer. Melamed, from here we see, sheshoichet tzorch shitin ofer lamata v'ofer lamala. Mechalkes v'shoinim, what does this mean? Some say bi'ofer, the base comes to say there should be earth on the bottom. Others say the base is much stronger, that the bird has to be completely enveloped with sand. Where is this relevant? In a slaughterhouse where they shecht a lot of birds, so if you're shechting one bird at a time, it's very simple. You have earth on the ground, and you put earth on top of it, and it's completely enveloped. But if you're shechting a lot of birds, it's not going to get completely enveloped from all the sides. So if you say, but often means you just need on the bottom, on the top, it's good enough. But if it means it has to be totally enveloped, it isn't good enough. But now again, the Gemara's question is, if you shot an arrow in the sky and it killed your bird, so you tack it, go to the bird and put earth on top of it, what about the earth that you need to put on bottom? Answers the Gemara, the Mazman will offer the Kula Piska. So Rashi gives two pshatim. One pshat is that you knew you're going to be doing this, and you have your field where you know that the bird's going to fall, and you go and you plow that entire field to make the earth soft, to make the earth soft, to be offered for the bottom. That's one pshat, Rashi says. Another pshat, Rashi says, is that let's say you already have a soft, the ground in the field is soft. So you say, I'm designating that this soft ground should be there as the offer for the bottom of the bird that's about to fall on it. Many Rishonim, however, disagree with Rashi. And their opinion is that if you have soft ground, if you're shechting a bird on top of soft ground, you don't have to specifically designate that ground to be the ground under the bird. If it's soft ground, if it's soft earth, it automatically becomes kosher without any specific designation. Why doesn't Rashi agree with it? Because if that's the case, so according to Rashi says, the Gemara should have said a very simple teretz, that you shechted it over a soft, over a field with sand, with soft ground. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that teretz leads Rashi to believe that you just can't shecht it on soft earth, you have to be mazmin to soft earth. How is shechted? It hit this, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody was shechting and he chopped off the head in one time, if the knife is wide enough, it's a kosher shechita. Amar Rav Zeira, how wide must the knife be? Mala tzaver, it has to be the width of the neck of the animal, v'chutz la tzaver. So ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Immediately ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ibarilu mala tzaver, v'chutz la tzaver, k'mala tzaver. It has to be the width of the neck, plus another width of that neck, which would total the avalei trei tzavari. If you want to check without a loch of avar, you have to have a knife that's double the neck width of the neck of the animal you're shechting. Adoma, or perhaps what the Mishnah means, mali tzav v'chutz tzav mashu. As long as it's a little bigger than the knife, it's good enough. Tashma. So the Gemara brings a raya from the Mishnah that we just learned. The Mishnah said, "How you shoyches v'yetishnei roshim? If somebody shechting, he slits two heads. B'bas achas im yesh l'tzavim." If the sakin has the molit sover, it will be a kosher shechita. Ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean? My molit sover echad. Ilem molit sover echad v'suloi. That it just means a little more. So it doesn't make any sense, ask the Gemara. Hashta b'bei ma'achas bin molit sover chutzot sover. It was saying that when you're shechting one animal, the amount you need is the width of the animal plus a little more. B'shtei b'ham is... So then when you're shechting two animals, sagalei k'moli tzaver echot, so it's going to be the same shear. That obviously can't be the same shear when you're shechting two animals as when you're shechting one animal. Elipshita. What it means is like this. You always have to have the width of the necks of the animals. So if you're shechting one animal, you have to have that width. If you're shechting two animals, you have to have that width. And on top of that, says the Gemara, moli tzaver chutz l'shnei tzavarim, another moli tzaver extra. Shmamina, moli tzaver chutz l'tzaver shmamina. So we shall debate the following situation. Here we're saying that if you shech two animals, how wide must the knife be? The width of the two animals' necks plus one more width. Let's say you have a knife that's only the width of two animals' necks. So certainly the shechita of the second animal isn't a valid shechita. What would be the halakha on the first shechita? Some rishonim say for the first animal it was wide enough, and therefore the first animal will be kosher. Others say since you're shechting both animals together, even the first animal wouldn't be kosher if the knife wasn't wide enough. The madvar mamurim. So we learned in the Mishnah, b'zman she'alech v'lehevi. To be a kosher shechita, you have to have a halakha v'ayvah. And the Mishnah said a izemel, a scalpel, is kosher for shechita. However, points out the Gemara, what type of izemel is kosher? Amar Menashe b'izemel she'en le'kanayim. If it's a scalpel that doesn't have horns, but if it has horns, they used to have scalpels that had like protrusions, so they're pointy, and the neck of the animal could get stuck in those protrusions, and they wouldn't slit the neck, they would puncture the neck. Amar le'rav Achbarei d'rav Avya, le'rav Menashe. Machtamai, what's the halacha? Can you use a needle to do a shechita? Amlei machta, a needle, mivzabaza, it doesn't cut, it tears. And tearing is ikur, it's a disqualified shechita. Ask the Gemara, machta deshkofimai. Machloikas Rishonim, what this means. Rashi says that a machta deshkofi is a leather, is the knives that were used by people who worked with leather. And Rashi describes it as sharp on the sides and pointy at the top. And the Gemara's question is very obvious. Do we need to be concerned? We just finished learning you can't use a needle. So do we need to be concerned that you're going to use the pointy top? Or we could be comfortable he's going to use the edges which are kosher for shechita. That's how Rashi learns. The Ran learns differently. The Ran says that the machta deshkofi is not like a regular needle. Even though a regular needle comes to a point at the top, and we just learned it's disqualified, this has like a flatter top. And the Gemara's question, therefore, says the Ran, is do we need to be concerned that if you're going to use a machta d'shkafi, you're going to end up using a machta, or we don't need to be concerned? Amalei, to which he responds, it seems that our Mishnah is speaking about this situation, because Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah, afil kalshahu, that even you could use even a kalshu to do shchita. My love, isn't the Mishnah referring to machta d'shkafi? And our Mishnah is clearly indication that machta d'shkafi is kosher. So the Maraloi, the Mishnah is speaking about an izemel. First my izemel, behedi ketanila. The Mishnah speaks clearly what the halacha about izemel is. We don't have to have kalshu to teach us. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Purusha kamafarish. Not that the Mishnah is speaking about two separate things. The Mishnah is explaining my kalshu, that when the Mishnah said that you could use a kalshu for shchita, it means an izemel. Hoch nam mistar, and so says the Gemara makes sense. Dis akadatach, macht dushkofi. If you can say a macht dushkofi could be used, hashta, mashka dushkofi sharia. If you could use a macht dushkofi, izemel miboya. So there's no question. If you could use a machta d'shkafi, you could certainly use an izemel. So it must be that our Mishnah is only speaking about izemel. As the Gemara, izemel is tzurchlei. No, there's a chiddush in izemel. Kusak da techemina. We would think that even though an izemel, which is a scalpel, certainly doesn't tear the simonim. But as we learned at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, if it has kanayim, you're not allowed to use it. So we would think that izemel shein le kanayim. Ligs are izemel shein le kanayim. We should not be allowed to use an izemel shein le kanayim. Also, because you may come to using izemel sheyesh le kanayim, kamash malon, that you need not be concerned. Says the Mishnah, nafel sakim shachta, if a knife fell and it shechted, apish shachta kedarkei, even though the knife fell and it shechted perfectly well, it's psula. Shenemar, because the Torah says, v'zavachto v'achalto. The shechita has to come because of you. If the knife fell by itself, not because of you, it's not a valid shechita. Machloikus Rishonim in this Mishnah. The Rashba says, let's say somebody's sitting and a knife is in his lap and he gets up and the knife falls because he got up. He got up and it cuts the animal's neck. So it is attributable to him and it's a kosher shechita. Many Rishonim, the Rosh and many Rishonim, disagree with the Rashba. They say that's not considered enough of your involvement that it should be considered a kosher shechita. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask a question. We all remember the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Bava Kamma, first Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses various avos nezikin. And the Mishnah says, Eish, Mavir, if my fire that I lit in my property spreads further, I'm held responsible. And the question is, I didn't directly cause damage. My fire, I lit a fire, my property went further. Why am I chayiv? So the Gemara Masechet Bava Kamma Davov brings a machloikas amaroyim. One man Dama says, because memoinai, the fire belongs to me. So just like I'm responsible for my animal that belongs to me, I'm responsible for the fire that belongs to me. The other man Dama, that's the question, says, Eishim Shem Chitzav, that my fire is considered like I directly made the fire. I didn't take my fire and put it by your field. I just made a fire in my field. Yet the Gemara over there says that it's considered that I put the fire in your field. So why shouldn't we say the same thing here? And because of this question, some Rishonim say that our Gemara is going coin to Manda Omar, that Eishim is Shem Emoinai. Rav Chaim Briska says a beautiful explanation. He says there are two concepts in Halacha. There's a concept of Maisa and the concept of Koyach. Eishim is Shem Chitzov says that if I lit a fire, and that fire, Chas V'Shalom, spread into your property, it's considered my Maisa. But it's not considered my Koyach, that I actually, that it could be directly attributable to me. For it to be a kosher shechita, says Rav Chaim, it's not enough that it should be my Maisa. It has to be my Koyach, and that isn't my Koyach. Tama, says the Gemara, what is the issue in our Mishnah? The Nafla, that the knife fell by itself. Ha hapiluhu, if I would have caused the knife to fall, then it would be a shechita kshera. Afagav, even though the loy mechavin, even though I didn't have any kavana to make a shechita. Ask the Gemara, man tana the loy binin kavana l'shechita. Who is the tana that holds you don't have to have kavana l'shechita? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta, Reb Nosson hi. The tanya oishas mir de min chavraya, tu pshatim, either Osha Zir de Mincha Vraya, his name was Osha and he was the youngest of the group. Another pshat is the name was Osha Zira, the men who came from the city Chavraya, where we learned earlier in Amasechta, Daf Yud Beis, Zorak Sakal and Noyatz Bekoisel, if somebody threw a knife at the wall, and as the knife went to the wall, V'holch V'shoch to Kedarkoi, it does a Shechita, even though that wasn't my goal to do a Shechita, Rav Nosa Machshir, V'chomem Paisimu. Why? Because you don't have to have Kavona for Shechita. Says the Gemara, Hu Tanalav Hu Amala, said Rava further, Halach Krem Nosa. So Mepharshim make a number of interesting points. One point they make is we know throughout Shas, throughout Halacha, there's a concept of Mitzvah Tzrichus Kavana. So they ask, is this Halacha that was saying Shechita doesn't require Kavana connected to that question? And the Mepharshim say these are two separate issues. Why? Because Mitzvah Tzrichus Kavana or Mitzvah Ein Tzrichus Kavana is regarding a Mitzvah that you're obligated to do. You're obligated to blow Shofar. Yeah, or hear Shofar. You're obligated to eat matzah. You're obligated to sit in the sukkah. So the famous Shaila, could you fulfill that mitzvah just by sitting in the sukkah? Or do you have to have kavanah to do a mitzvah? Shechita is not that type of a mitzvah. Shechita is a matir. Because I shecht, I can eat the meat. So it has nothing to do with kavanah. It's a different subject altogether. Furthermore, the mashal makes the point that even if you hold, as Rav Nosson says, and as Rav just paskin, that you could have a kosher shechita without intent to do shechita. But if you have intention specifically that it shouldn't be a valid shechita, then even Rav Nosson will agree that it's not a valid shechita. The halachic term is hepech kavana. There's an interesting sefer Zichron Yitzchak, the Piskei Tshuva quotes him, that says based on this, let's say we know there's a din in the Torah, you're not a shech, the mother and his child on the same day. Or you're not a shech, the animal on Shabbos, obviously. What happens if you shech a child on the same day that the mother was slaughtered, or on Shabbos, with this type of a shechita without kavana? It's going to be, according to the Mashal, says the Zichron Yitzchak, like a hepech kavana, and even Reb Nosson would agree to this qualified shechita. The Piskei Tshuva disagrees. He says, a hepech kavana is only when I specifically have in mind that this shouldn't be a shechita. The fact that there's an outside issue, that it's Oysev Espinoi, that's a Shabbos, has nothing to do with that I have in mind not to make a good shechita, and therefore the halacha is that it's a valid shechita. Even according to the Mashal. Interesting question. There's a very famous issue going to be relevant to the next part of the shiur, so I might as well sell it now. There's a question, when a woman goes to the mikveh, when should she make the bracha? Should she make the bracha before she goes under the water or after? So the Chavis Yor says, what she should do is immerse herself once, make the bracha, and then immerse herself again. Ask the Mashal, what are you accomplishing? Once she immersed herself, she immersed herself. So, therefore, the Mashal says, based on what he just said, I don't know if you have to have this kavan every time, but the woman, when she goes and immerses herself the first time, has a mind like this. If you have to make a bracha after the immersion, this first immersion should be a valid immersion. If, on the other hand, you make a bracha before, then this immersion should not be an immersion altogether, and then the second immersion should be an immersion. And since you have the feirish in mind that it shouldn't be an immersion, hepech kavana, it's fine. The only issue with this is, the Gemara says that an Eved Kanani, before he starts to work for you, you have to take him to the mikveh, he should be mechuyev mitzvahs kenoshim. And the Gemara says, and that's the halacha, we don't have avodim kananim, that even if the Eved is against it, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. You could force him to go to the mikveh, and it's a valid tefillah. I was saying now that if somebody has specifically in mind that it shouldn't be valid, everybody agrees it's not acceptable. So the Mepharshim give two explanations. One explanation is, we know there's halacha of tefillas keli. So the keli has no das. The Eved Kanani has no das. It's my das. Another pshat is that when is there a problem if there's nobody that has the proper das. Here I have the proper das, the owner, and that's why it's good enough. Ask the Gemara from Rav Chodesh Zimna. Rav already told us that the halacha follows Rav Nosson. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Amasechta, Cherishayt v'katan, v'kulin sheshachtan, v'ruach cherim ro'inai son, k'sher, shkita son k'sher, it's a valid k'sher, shkita. V'amrinan, and when we learned that Mishnah, we asked, man tana d'loy boy kavana, who's the tana that says you don't have to have kavana for the shkita? V'amarava, Rav Nosson he. So we already learned from the first Mishnah, the halacha is like Rav Nosson. So there's a various ways of learning this Gemara. Some Mishnahim say, why do we need two Mishnahis to teach us the same halacha? Others say it's not a question on the Mishnah, why does Rav have to say it twice? Others say either we could have learned it from the Mishnah, first Mishnah, and not need the second Mishnah, Tosfos' approach. And others say we could have the second Mishnah and not have the first Mishnah. But the bottom line issue is, why do we have to say the same halacha twice? Answers Gemara, Tzrich. We need both of these cases. Deshmina Hassam, Shunna Kamachavl Shem Chetich Boilam. Even though the Chereshayit V'katan don't have das, but they do intend to cut the animal's neck. Avol Hocha, where there's no intention to loim kavim, there's no intention to do shechit at all, aim aloy. V'yesh min ha-hocha, mishum dekos mikoyef bandas. It's coming from a full-fledged bandas. Avol Hosam, that we're referring to Chereshayit V'katan, dekos mikoyef bandas, aim aloy, tzricha. Itma, nida shenentsa v'tevla. We know that a woman, after she's a nida, has to go to the mikvah. So let's say a woman went to the mikveh, somebody put her in without any das. She didn't have any das. Amar Yehuda Merav, Tahara Lebeisa, Vesura Lechelp Truma. The halach is that a nida is tmeya, and a nida can't have relations with her husband. Says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that if she went to the mikveh without das, she is tar for her husband, but she's tamei as far as Hilchas Tumim Tara are concerned. Rabbi Yochanan, she's not considered Tara at all. Amle Rav Rav Nachman, the Rav the Amatara Lebeis of Asura Lech Latruma. I don't understand, he asks. A woman having relations with her husband when she's a Nida is an oven kares. Yet we're saying, even though it was no das, hutra, it's still considered a valid tefillah. Issa Misa, a woman eating Trumas, Maestras, as we'll see, when she's Tameh, is only Misa B'day Shemayim. So this is a more serious Aveira. So if it's a valid tefillah for the Chi of Karis, it certainly should be a valid tefillah for the Issa Misa B'day Shemayim. Why is Karis considered a more serious sin than Misa B'day Shemayim? So I saw two Pshatim in the Rishonim. One Pshat in the Rishonim is that Karis not only affects the perpetrator of the Aveira, but his family as well. Misa B'day Shemayim only affects the person of the Aveira. Another Pshat is that Karis is already at the age of 50, Rachman al-Tzlan. Misa B'day Shemayim is only at the age of 60. So if it's effective for Karis, shouldn't it be effective for Misa B'day Shemayim? And as the Mefarshim point out, even though in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn Masechta Nida, and we're going to learn in Masechta Nida that regarding Tumat Tahara, the Gemara says many situations where we're makbid on Tumat Tahara, so it's not extraordinary to see that Chazal were makbid on Tumat Tahara. That's by the Rabbonans. They were talking about the Raisas, and it's difficult for the Gemara to understand why we're more lenient by the Raisa Kares than by the Raisa Misudei Shemayim. Amalei answers the Gemara, Bala, as far as having relations with her husband, chulin hu, v'chulin lo bai kavana. On the other hand, Tumat Tahara refers to kachim, as I said, to eat truma. There we have to be stricter. Ask them when we're not temra, and where do we see this distinction? The Tanan, gal shenitlash, if there's a wave that comes out of the ocean, the person has to title himself, and there's a wave that comes on him, ubaya baim saw. And in this wave, there's a boim so, which we learned is the required amount for mikvah. The nafal al-adam al-kalim, tahirim. It's considered tahar. Now, makes the Gemara the point. The Mishnah is connecting adam and kalim. Ma kalim doi mechavmi. Kalim have no intellect. Af adam, loy by kavana. So we see that you don't have to have kavana for it to be a valid tefillah. Memai. Ask the Gemara, who says that it's referring to such a case? Dilma b'yoyishev metzapeskinen. You're expecting the wave to hit you, and that's considered kavana. There's a fascinating child's tshuva's Torah l'shma. He says this as a very strong b'di'evit. He says, let's say a person can't have proper kavana when he's davening. It's not proper, but he can't have kavana. So he says, yoshe metzapim means that you want the water to hit you. So he says, wanting to daven properly is the minimal amount of kavana. B'yoshev metzapa, askina emesa yitla shagal, when the wave will hit you. The kalim, and therefore the comparison should be as follows. The kalim dum yid adam. Ma adam, the bein in kavana, that he has to be at least yoshev metzapa, af kalim nami, the kumachavalu, otherwise it would not be a valid tefillah. V'chi teima, if you'll ask, if that's how we're explaining that Mishnah, speaking about a case, that it's yoshev metzapa, so if so, my lememra, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? My tema, we should ask that perhaps ligzim mishum chadlo shel geshamim. The halacha is that if you have water running down a mountain from the top to the bottom, and you go into that puddle along the slope of the mountain, even if there's a bomb saw, it's not a kosher mikvah. Inami ligzim roshan ata kipin. The halacha is that if the wave, if the top of the wave hits you, then you're tahor. But let's say you go into the middle of the wave, then you're not tahor. So we should maybe be concerned that the gal should never have the wave should never have the ability to matar you because you may go into the middle of the wave. Other Rishonim learn it makes a difference if the wave only has the ability to matar you if it's still connected to the ocean. But if it's not connected to the ocean, it's not matar. So maybe we should make a gzeira. That's why teaches us the Gemara, K'mashmalan de Lagazrina. Ask the Gemara, we're taking it as an obvious that you can't use the keepin to matar yourself. Ask the Gemara, Menot Tamra de Lematanlin Makeepin. How do we know that keepin cannot be used? The Tanan, because it says explicitly in a Mishnah, some say it's a Braisa, Matbilin Bereshin, Vein Matbilin Bekeepin, Shein Matfilin Be'avir, El Chulin, Shein Matfilin Be'avir. So here we see that you don't have to have kavana. Beautiful vart from Tiferes Shleima. Tiferes Shleima begins with a ran. The ran says that we're learning in our Gemara that a wave that emanates from the ocean can be matar a person. And the ran says that not only the wave, but let's say in that wave somebody will pour some maim shuvim, which we learned earlier in the Masechta, is disqualified from mikvah, he'll still be tahar. Says the Tiferes Shleima, the Mishnah says, Perek Shishi, Perkei Avos. Halayim et Torah l'shma, zoich l'dvarim harbe. Somebody truly learns Torah, he's zoich to many things. What does it mean? One of the things the Mishnah says, he becomes like a mayon hamizgaber. Says the Tiferes Shleima, what's pshat in the Mishnah? Our Mishnah is teaching us a tremendous lesson. If somebody emanates from the ocean, anything that emanates from the ocean has the ability to be matar, and not only is it matar, it could be matar, something that's normally not acceptable. So too, somebody who's really connected to the Yam HaTalmud, to Torah, has such a tremendous influence and everything around him that even something that normally is not great, it's Maim Shuvim, he could be matar and make it Choshev. El Chulin, the boy, loy boy kavon mi menolam. Where do we see that Chulin? You don't have to have kavana. The Tanan. We know we learned this halacha many times, and we will continue learning the halacha. That food, in order to be susceptible for tuma, has to be mukshel kabel tuma, has to be exposed to liquid. So it says in the Mishnah, perish nafal toich amas hamayim. If fruits fell into water. Somebody whose hands are tamei put his hand in the notlon and took it out. Yod of tahiris, his hands are now tar because he put his hand into the mikvah. Or peris ein b'chiyutan. The peris are not considered having been mukshel kabel tuma. V'im b'shvil shiyutchu. If he wanted to rinse his hands, so he's satisfied with the water. Yod of tahiris. His hands are tahar, because they put them into a mikvah, or peres b'chiyutan. And the peres are now susceptible. Machlokes Rishonim, if only the owner of the payrus can make them susceptible to tumah, or anybody can make them. Furthermore, the Rishonim say the payrus only become mukshel kabel tumah when you take them out of the water. As long as they're sitting in the water, they're not mukshel. So Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, it says in a Mishnah, Tavel Chulin, if somebody went to the mikveh because he wants to eat chulin, for huchsikl chulin, and that was his intent, Osla Maisa. It's not considered that he went to the mikveh as far as Maisa is concerned. Huchsikin, loy huchsik loy. So isn't this Braisa teaching us he has to have kavana, huchsik? So how are we saying that you automatically become tamei or tar by chulin? Here it seems to say that you have to be huchsik. Huchsikin, loy huchsik loy. So the mahach kama. This is the way to understand. Even if you had intent, not that it's necessary, but even if you had that intent, Osla Maisa wouldn't help you for Maisa. Esvei asked the Gemara another question. It says, if somebody went to the mikveh, and loy huchsuk is kilo loy tovel. Doesn't the Braisa mean to say, kilo lova tova klal? So isn't this a clear indication that tefillah without intention is not a valid tefillah? Says the Gemara, loy, kilo loy tova lemaiser. For maiser, you have to have kavana. Av tova lechulin, for chulin, even without any intention, the tefillah is a valid tefillah. Who sover? The chuy kamatchalei, that he's making this distinction between chulin and maiser. Nofak, dog for ashkach, but then he frowned a brisa. The Tanya, tavav loy huchsuk, muchsur lechulin, it's considered valid for chulin, because for chulin intention is not required. Ama mutal lechulin, fas lemaisa. But for maiser, intention is required. So right now what the Gemara is up to, is the Gemara seems to be saying that for chulin, it's considered valid without intention of tefillah. For Maisa, for Kachim, it isn't. So if so, Rabbi Huda Merav's psak regarding the woman who went to the mikveh without any intention will be very understandable. The only issue is, which is we were up to, how will Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you even have to have intention to be able to have relations with your husband, understand what we're learning? And we'll look at